been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swan Bunoth, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning. To go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey there, John Sabo, Far East Travels Podcast, Base Camp, Nha Trang, Vietnam, until further notice. We did get a few loosening up of these pandemic measures starting today, so I'm going to tell you about that, have an update from Vietnam, also an update from Thailand, and we're going to revisit Chiang Rai, Thailand, from my trip back in 2016 in this episode. Hey, thanks for staying in touch. You can stay connected with me on the Far East Travels podcast page, which now, particularly if you're in the United States, you can listen to the podcast from the Facebook page now. All of the podcast episodes should appear now in the podcast category, which you just click. And just let me know if that's working for you. I don't think it's working over here yet. I see it come up on the Facebook page, but doesn't seem to be able to be activated. So just let me know if you're in the States and you can listen to it from the Far East Travels podcast page. That's pretty cool. And also love connecting with you on John Sabo's Far East Travels on Instagram. Hey, if you want to support the podcast, always a few ways you can do that. Writing a review in the iTunes store or Apple Podcasts really helps. A link will always be in the show notes. Just check the link or follow the link. Make sure you're signed into your account. Rate the podcast out of 5 stars, write a review, and you'll help others discover the Far East Travels podcast. And you can also support the podcast and my YouTube channel financially, a couple different ways, donations to PayPal, or you can be a patron and pledge a monthly donation starting at $1 a month. I'll leave the links in the show notes for those. Thanks. So today was the first day in weeks that I was able to go for a walk and not have to have any kind of essential reason for doing so, although I did need to go out and try to find a market so I could pick up a few more things for lunch, dinner, you know, those kind of essential type things. But I was able to get out for a little walk. I made a video for YouTube Stories, so if you're on YouTube, you can check that out. It was a beautiful day, but now we're in rainy season, so seems like every afternoon now we're starting to get overcast skies, and then by mid to late afternoon, we get the showers, and that's rainy season here. But it's good news. It felt like there was just a little bit of lightness in the air today. I think, you know, people are kind of feeling a little more positive. I think there was some more smiles out there than maybe normally, that, you know, perhaps maybe things are going to start opening up again. In Ho Chi Minh City, things are starting to move forward, even despite the fact that there was, in the country overall, in Vietnam, there was 12,680 cases September 8th, 12,680 new infections and 335 deaths overall. Most of those infections coming from, and deaths coming from, Ho Chi Minh City and Binh Duong province. But Ho Chi Minh City is going ahead with opening of some services again, including delivery app drivers resuming to work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. delivering takeout food from restaurants. This is the first time in 2 months that drivers will be able to deliver takeout food again. I mean, you just can't fathom how much of an impact that will have or has had on the economy and just on people, generally speaking, whether it's livelihood or just their spirits, to get some of this great food delivered again, get people working again, and get people eating this great food again, I think will just lift up the spirits of so many people. Although there's still so many people that, you know, are just trying to get by and are still struggling right now. But, you know, hopefully some of these measures will start to open things up and help get people back to work and, you know, just resuming life overall. This is so important. So that's what's happening in Ho Chi Minh City. There's kind of some more measures. District 7 and Kuchi District are allowing more businesses to open up there because they've been able to bring the caseloads down in those areas. So that's good news as well. Da Nang City has committed to vaccinating every adult over the age of 18 with their first jab by the end of September. Very interesting news. Nothing more on that in Nha Trang, but we are getting some things starting to reopen. I've got a couple of new shopping passes today that are good in a few days that I will use, and hopefully some of the markets or supermarkets will start to reopen again, so we'll be able to get out and sort of at least try to resume some kind of normalcy here. So in the meantime, you know, Thailand has been making news with, you know, their serious fourth wave of the pandemic and how it's impacted them, particularly Bangkok. But despite all of that, they are pressing ahead with the reopening of Chiang Mai, Pattaya, Hua Hin, and Bangkok to international tourists October 1st. Now, Bangkok, I think, was always set to go October 1st, but I think Pattaya and possibly Chiang Mai and Hua Hin were going to open a month earlier, but they've delayed those openings now until October 1st. But they're still going ahead with opening up to international tourists. Samui, which started its reopening mid-July, has only seen just over 900 visitors as of the end of August. Phuket, which started the whole reopening to international tourism July 1st, has seen about 27,000 visitors as part of the Phuket Sandbox scheme. So that's what's happening in Thailand. I mean, I was just thinking about Bangkok the other day and how many people visit that city yearly, over 20 million. It's usually at least number two, if not the number one most visited city in the world year after year. Can you imagine what kind of impact all of this has had on the city and the people of Bangkok? So I want to visit in this episode or revisit Chiang Rai, which is the northernmost major city of Thailand with a population of just over 200,000. Now, Chiang Mai is kind of the star of the north, and it's quite frankly much better equipped for tourism. They have a bustling nightlife there. There's bars, pretty sizable expat community. Actually, you know, they've made their name as kind of a digital nomad center, and there's all kinds of infrastructure there to support foreigners, people on short-term visas in the past. And I mean, there's some impressive shopping malls there, ancient temples. You have the old town. A lot of this stuff is within walking distance, not all of it, but a lot of it is. So it's a little more friendlier for tourists. Chiang Rai is a little more spread out. It's kind of sleepier, but it does have this kind of unique charm. And if you'd spent some time in Chiang Mai and go to Chiang Rai, I think you'd appreciate both in their own way. But it doesn't have as many sites. Chiang Rai doesn't have as many sites. I remember seeing lots of pet cafes or cat cafes, and lots of cafes, actually, in Chiang Rai. If you don't mind that and you want kind of a little bit of a slower pace, it's got its own charm. It really does. And what it lacks in those things, it more than makes up for in a beautiful countryside. The ability to get out to meet diverse ethnic tribes. There's even a village in the mountainside, in the mountains north of Chiang Rai. It's maybe about an hour and a half drive, called Mae Salong, and it's mostly made up of ancestors and still some of the original Republic of China Kuomintang soldiers that settled in there. One time were big opium traders, but they cut a deal with the government of Thailand a long time ago to switch out opium for tea. And they brought a lot of, or imported a lot of tea bushes from Taiwan. And they created this whole tea industry up in the mountains there. And there's ethnic tribes or hill tribes that visit those villages and they bring their wares. So you'll meet lots of Akha tribes people there. And a lot of them speak English quite well, actually. So you can sort of have a little exchange with them and maybe buy something from them. They're really a lot of fun. So that's kind of the difference between Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai. I want to play you this little segment from 2016 of me just walking through a market there, one of the night markets there.
Hey, everyone. I'm here at the afternoon market in Chiang Rai, Thailand. And I wanted to just do a quick live Facebook here and kind of give you an idea of what people like to eat, what you can pick up here to eat. It's so cheap, some of this stuff. I mean, I know a lot of people don't cook here because the food at the markets is really tasty and it's so cheap. So let's I'll take a quick walkthrough right now. You ready? Are you ready? Here we go. So, I mean, this market has lots of produce and stuff, but lots of ready-made things as well, lots of juices, lots of barbecued fish and chicken, and lots of stuff skewering. They do a lot of skewered meats here and fish, as you can see, and lots of stuff that's ready-made. This barbecued fish looks so good, and I bet you that's a chili sauce with it, and it's delicious. And they have some large prawns. This lady has some large prawns here that look really tasty that have been barbecued as well. Lots of huge papaya and little pineapples. These little pineapples are in season here right now, and they're so tasty. And you can pick up a bag of cut pineapple for like 10 baht, which is, I don't know, 30, 40 cents, something like that. And this market gets, it's 6 o'clock in the evening here in Chiang Rai, and this is a busy time for the market because people are getting off work. I mean, there's nurses here, there's office people that come down and pick up something for dinner. Lots of, as I said before, lots of fruit here, lots of stuff you can take home and cut yourself, and lots of pre-cut stuff. This person here is barbecuing some squid right now, and it looks really tasty, and nice little chili sauce with it. Lots of fresh greens and produce for people who do their own cooking. But like I said, there's lots of choice here, lots of tasty stuff, some quail eggs. And this looks really interesting, these fried shrimp. I think that you would use in something else. I don't know if you would just eat that alone. And some meats that people are selling that you can take home yourself and cook. And, well, this person has a whole bunch of fish here. And I see there's their barbecue there. And they just grill it up and sell it. 10 baht for a fish. And lots of sausages that are ready to be cooked. And, of course, flowers as well. Hey, Rich, how are you, man? This is the market in Chiang Rai. And I just had, I just filled myself up with some fruit here, some fresh pineapple and papaya. I bought it from this place here. Like 10 baht, and you get a nice bag of fruit freshly cut. The pineapple is really good this time of year. Here. And I mean, I'm a huge fruit freak, so I love Asia, particularly East Asia and Southeast Asia, because the fruit is so tasty here. And mangoes are in season again, and these are the green mangoes. And there's mangoes, I mean, you probably won't see those in the West, in North America especially, are the green mangoes that are sweet. But here in Asia, you can buy these green mangoes that are really quite sweet. And, of course, watermelon as well. And more fresh squid that you can cook yourself.
as I said, there's a selection. It's a mixed market of stuff that you can take home and cook yourself and pre-cook stuff as well. And it's just after 6 p.m. here, so of course it's a busy time of the day. People getting off of work and coming down to pick up something for dinner. This is my last night here in Chiang Rai, so I'm heading down to Bangkok, and I'll be in Bangkok for the rest of the week. But the north has been really good. I really like Chiang Rai. I rented a motorbike today and went out of town, went south, and then came back and then went north to check out a couple of sites. And I really like Chiang Rai. It's very cool, chill, laid-back place. And it's easy to extend your time here quite easily. I've spoke to a few people that keep adding on extra days here. And I talked to somebody from the United States today that lives here now and has a wife. And they're trying to have a baby. And he's from North Carolina and she's from Texas. And Chiang Rai is their home now. And lots of expats here, by the way, because it's, it's a nice place to live, and it's really, really inexpensive as well. So it's very attractive, especially if people are kind of in retirement years or close, semi-retirement or retirement years. Hey, thanks for joining me. Hopefully I'll come back to you again tonight from Chiang Rai, Thailand. Thanks so much. Cheers. Take care. See you soon.
I was just thinking today, and I was going to mention it earlier in the episode, that, you know, one of the joys that travel has brought me is the appreciation of diversity of people and cultures. And living in a place like East Asia or Southeast Asia, being able to get on a plane and within, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours, I can meet people from completely different walks of life, different perspective, different nature characteristics, different language. And that contrast, I think, is what I miss so much, the ability to just kind of appreciate another culture within just 2 or 3 hours. So I do hope that we are all back to some sort of semblance of normality as far as travel goes in the next 6 months or so. It would be nice to spread that joy of travel again, and the diversity and the appreciation of other people and cultures here in East Asia and Southeast Asia. So thanks so much. You can stay connected with me, of course, via Instagram, John Sabo's Far East Travels on Instagram, Facebook, either the Far East Travels page, Far East Travels podcast page, or John Sabo official page. And on Twitter, I'm Far East_Travels. And of course, the YouTube channel, new video out on the lockdown and social isolation conditions here in Nha Trang. My latest video, check that out too on YouTube. Thanks so much. And if you're out there traveling right now, and when you're traveling in the near future, of course, I always wish you safe travels. Namaste, tashi dalei, and peace from Vietnam.